First, a civil conversation with someone you might disagree with has gotten tougher to come by, it seems. Between our growing political divide and the nature of social media, it's easy to think that everyone's always angry with each other. For the last year, our next guests have been working to dial down the temperature through their work with the Local Voices Network. The project, which launched in Wisconsin last year, gets small groups of people together around a digital recorder to talk about their values, viewpoints, and the issues most important to them, with the goal of understanding each other and ourselves a bit better. Parisa Parsa is the CEO of Cortica, the nonprofit organization operating the Local Voices Network. Parisa, thanks for joining us.
Glad to be here.
And Colleen Butler is the capacity building lead for Cortica and leader of the Wisconsin chapter of the Local Voices Network. Colleen, thanks for coming up to the studio.
Thanks for having us.
Parisa, the Local Voices Network has been operating for, I think, about a year now. What was the catalyst? What got this project started?
Sure. We were started out of the Laboratory for Social Machines at the MIT Media Lab, which had been doing a whole bunch of work on analyzing the patterns of communication and the increasingly polarized and divisive patterns of communication by tracking Twitter and talk radio streams over the period leading up to the 2016 election and watching unfold what we now take for granted as this growing divide and the increasing speed and breadth of transmission of false news as opposed to true, deep, real experiences of individuals, and started to ask, can we create a way to analyze the patterns of what happens with people in real conversations, in person, in small groups, going deep, in the same way that we can analyze these Twitter and talk radio streams? And can we shift the tide to a healthier public sphere by catalyzing those conversations and building them at scale? So with the help of Kathy Kramer, a political scientist and researcher at the University of Wisconsin, we got started in Wisconsin.
And Colleen, as we just heard, Wisconsin was part of the story behind this. Bring us into a conversation that you might lead or one of your facilitators might lead here in Wisconsin. If I'm participating, what's it going to look like to me?
Yeah, well, the fun thing about the conversations is that all of them are quite different. And we have conversations in Madison that are with young people from a variety of different backgrounds speaking about their experience as immigrants or as people who have experienced homelessness. We've had conversations in Wapaka with people who are farmers and talking about kind of their concerns around flooding. We're about to start having conversations in Sauk County, which will be focused on small farms and the impact of tariffs. So, you know, every community has different groups of people who are coming together, and then the issues that come up very much reflect what's happening in that community at that moment.
And Parisa, I think it's really easy to get a group of people together in person or online and have a really bad conversation, a really negative, hostile, unproductive one. What do you and your facilitators do to make sure that it doesn't devolve?
Yeah, we have some guiding principles for our conversations that are really important for providing the structure to really remind folks of the skills we always already carry with us and just aren't always encouraged to use quite as much. So first is we invite people to introduce themselves by naming a guiding value that represents why they're even in the conversation, right? So connecting on the level of values. And then all of our questions, from the introductory questions to the questions about what's happening in the community, invite folks to share not an opinion or a position on an issue, or if they share the position on the issue, to share it by way of a personal experience that informs their way of thinking or relating to the issue. And by rooting it in both values and personal experience, we invite a broader telling of the story of what's happening for the individual and for the community. And folks really can invite each other's compassion and understanding, even if they don't agree about the issue.
Colleen, this isn't something we sit down routinely and do anymore, if we ever did. What's the reaction you get from people when you see them kind of embrace this conversation?
You know, it's been really remarkable. it's often difficult to get people to come into the conversation because people are like, well, we're going to talk for 90 minutes and what's it about and why and what's going to happen with this information and what's this new technology? You know, there's a lot of questions. But then once people do actually sit down for the 90 minutes and make connections with their neighbors, with their coworkers, with people that they haven't met in their community before, at this level of sharing stories, I've just been really amazed by the vulnerability that people have in the conversations and the compassion that develops throughout the conversations. And so people oftentimes at the end are like, we want to do more of this. We want to come back for another one. How do we stay, you know, connected? And so I feel like our best kind of marketing strategy is getting people to come to a conversation. And once that has happened, people are really excited and engaged because I think people are missing that feeling of connection a lot of the time.
Talking to Colleen Butler and Parisa Parso with Cortica, the nonprofit organization operating what we're talking about, the Local Voices Network. Parisa, Colleen just mentioned the technology. Introduce us to the electric hearth.
Sure. The digital hearth is a device that we are making by hand in our offices right now, limited supply, offers an 8-microphone array to record the conversations. And it's a warm, beautiful object to have at the center of the conversation. It has in it a mini hard drive, a Raspberry Pi, that has on it the capacity to hold the conversation data that's recorded, as well as data from other conversations that are curated and helps us to share voices from another conversation into the conversation you're having in the room. Once the conversations are recorded on the digital hearth, they're uploaded to our software platform that helps us to visualize the conversation. So they're transcribed and there's audio and text analysis on the platform that allows you to see who spoke when and for how long, what keywords came up multiple times in the conversation, and for all participants allows full visibility to the conversation they took part in and any other conversations in their collection of conversations. And there's the possibility then of going in and what we call curating, choosing highlights or important quotes from the conversation that folks would really like to have shared beyond their conversation, either into other conversations for folks to respond to, or eventually we'll be able to just tweet these right out and hopefully share some of the healthy, more nuanced and complexifying views out into that sphere that's been known for the thin stories that we can tell about each other and the knee-jerk responses.
Colleen, are people reluctant at all with the, you know, knowing that they're sitting in front of this 8-microphone funky recorder?
It depends. Sometimes people are. I think the thing that's nice about it is Parisa kind of talked about it. It's intentionally designed to be kind of like a piece of furniture, mm-hmm. so it doesn't look like your phone's in the middle of the table, and there's a light underneath it that glows when it's recording. So that's intended to remind people that it is in fact there. It is in fact recording, because obviously, if we're recording, we want anybody to only share things that they're comfortable having recorded. So once the conversation gets underway, people usually get fairly comfortable around it. And but we try really hard at the beginning to make sure everybody knows it's going to be recorded before they even come into the room. So some of that, anxiety can be dissipated.
Parisa, part of this is the opportunity for the actual participants themselves to have this kind of conversation that might be hard to come by. But you're also hoping that we in the media, that maybe policymakers can make use of this. How so?
Right. Well, we know that it's an increasingly huge problem that contributes to our polarization, that there is not the level of beat reporting or the ability for journalists to be, you know, embedded in communities in the same way that they once were. And so local journalism has really suffered. And so we're hoping to fuel journalism with access to more stories than are easy to come by, given the current strapped resource environment, and to be able to access us a deeper complexity of stories and to be able to see the breadth of what people are talking about in a different way. And by giving the participants access to the platform, we're hoping that, especially as we work with community groups that are trying to understand how to surface needs in meaningful ways to policymakers, that we can kind of complete that arc by sharing the public perception and experiences with the media and with policymakers to inform and create a different kind of accountability. It's harder to ignore recorded conversations that are available to the public than it is to sort of nod your head at a town meeting and hope it's over soon. So, and we're seeing actually that policymakers are really eager to have this kind of engagement and this kind of deeper understanding of what's happening. And that's already happening in Madison.
We're talking to Parisa Parsa and Colleen Butler, both with the Local Voices Network, which was launched last year in Wisconsin, a handful of communities around the state and a few around the country as well. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think we need more discussions aimed at simply understanding each other and our views on important issues? Are you able to have this kind of conversation in your community, maybe with people you might not always agree with, but it doesn't spiral into name-calling? How do these conversations go? Are you worried about what happens if we don't have these interactions? And do you have a question about the Local Voices Network itself? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we're picking up our talk with Parisa Parsa and Colleen Butler of the Local Voices Network. They host small group conversations in Wisconsin and other states about local and national issues. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a space in your community, your family, your workplace, I don't know, for these kind of discussions? How do you approach a conversation with people who might have different viewpoints than your own? Do you have conversations with people who have different viewpoints than your own? Do you have questions about the Local Voices Network, what they're doing, whether they might be coming to a community near you? You can join in at 800-642-1234. We'll go to your calls now. Charlie is with us in Milwaukee. Charlie, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just want to say that how important this is to get people to talk with people who have different views, simply because the mainstream media doesn't really go towards people of differing views for which their newscast seems to be oriented. An example would be immigration. If you are a left-leaning newscast, if someone does not support open borders, it's easier to call them in a soundbite racist than to really explore the issues. Conversely, if you're on one of the more conservative newscasts, they will sit there and say, there's an increase in crime, but not recognize the policies of the United States that's leading people to come to this country illegally. Something like this is so necessary that for people to see what the true issues are and that there are two sides to the coin. Thank you.
Charlie, thanks a lot for the call. Parisa, Charlie talking about what some people call the, you know, a media bubble, an information bubble where people hear stuff they agree with and can then condemn the things they disagree with.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's exactly what we're trying to counteract. And I think that one of the add-on effects of only hearing those kinds of sound bites that are the extreme is that we forget that we are complicated people who have intersecting issues that play out in our lives. And one of the things that these small group conversations allow is for a fullness of the telling of our story that I think is really critical to opening up the conversation beyond those polarized and really narrow stories.
Thanks for that call, Charlie, at 800-642-1234. And Colleen, seeing these conversations and hearing them in person, I think a lot of times we might be quick to categorize people, you know, politically, we know they're on this side, so they therefore think this thing. When you hear people actually talk, though, does it get more complicated and nuanced than that?
Yeah, I think it definitely does get more complicated and nuanced. You know, one of the things, as Parisa said earlier, that we really focus on is trying to get people to share stories from their personal experience. And one of the examples that I use when we're doing our facilitator training is that when you hear me say, like, I believe healthcare is a human right. You either agree or you disagree, and you're getting into your position to, you know, either argue or go along with it. Whereas if I tell you a story about my family and my father-in-law who has Alzheimer's and, you know, the ways in which his needs have not been met, even though he did everything he was supposed to do, you know, you're leaning in a little bit more. And that's where the complexity and the nuance comes in, that you have people, instead of kind of getting in their corners, they're leaning into each other and understanding better, like, why it is they have the perspectives that they have.
Let's bring on another caller now. Arthur joins us from Toma. Arthur, hello.
Hi there.
What'd you want to bring up, Arthur?
Well, so I found it interesting. What if this were brought to scale and tens of thousands of conversations were to be happening? How could we use machine learning and artificial intelligence to sort of surface the highlights or the most talked about features at a national or an international level?
Arthur, thanks for the call. Parisa, that's part of what you're trying to do, right?
That's exactly what we're trying to do. So, we're actively expanding. We've got chapters now in Boston, New York City, Birmingham, Alabama, and the starts of plans in Sacramento, California, and Charlotte, North Carolina. And we're aiming at just that. We're dealing all the time with the challenges that we really think that there's a great power for machine learning and artificial intelligence to help us better understand and track the patterns of the deeper connections that we make. And we're out to try to prove that.
Yeah, what kind of things potentially could we discover, Parisa, by using those techniques?
Well, we're looking at one of the challenges to scale is that a lot of this stuff really does require the human understanding better the human perceptions and the ways that we train ourselves to listen for different things and listen along different channels. And so Kathy Kramer and others at the Lab for Social Machines are actively helping us to trace the patterns of influence among people in conversations, as well as the kinds of weighted emotional words that folks use to describe their feelings, and track those across conversations to understand better, you know, how often are folks talking about marriage, for instance, as a positive thing, and what does it take for those patterns of influence to spread? We can see them really easily on Twitter because it's text-based and it moves really fast across networks, and trying to trace human voices and the ways that people nuance their communication is the next big hurdle. So it's long-term work, but it's pretty exciting to understand how we communicate and how we can communicate more effectively across difference.
Talking about the Local Voices Network with Parisa Parsa and Colleen Butler for the nonprofit Cortico. Back to your calls now. Marcus is with us in Madison. Marcus, hi.
Hi. I would like to get your response to this, please. It seems to me what we're actually suffering from for many, many generations now is the fact that the basic logical fallacies of argument under a topic called rhetoric simply isn't taught anymore. If you want to learn about it, you have to go to law school. People can't distinguish between a good and a really lousy argument. They don't know what begging the question is. They don't know what a non sequitur is, an ad hominem argument, ignoring the question, or the slippery slope, or the straw man, or the red
Marcus,
herring.
Thanks a lot for the call. I see where you're going. But Colleen, you're not really looking for rhetorical debate and argument in these settings, are you?
That's right. Yeah, we're really not. It's definitely possible that conflict can arise in the conversations, but we're really trying to actually create a space where people are not trying to persuade each other towards a particular viewpoint, but instead are really sharing from their own experience and stories and learning more about each other. And so moving away from that more polarized state.
And Colleen, I wanted to talk about the training of the facilitator here, because that seems like it's going to be such a huge part of making this successful.
Yeah.
What goes into teaching someone how to maintain this kind of space?
Yeah, thank you. So I think, you know, as Parisa mentioned earlier, we have a couple of different conversation principles that really help create the space for people to participate from a place of sharing their personal experience rather than kind of engaging in argument. What we try to do in the facilitator training is really focus on the kinds of questions you can use as a facilitator to bring things back to the local and the personal. We also talk about strategies to navigate conflict either within the group or if you yourself as a facilitator having your buttons pushed in the moment, you know, how do you know that about yourself and handle that in the moment? So those are some of the things. And then, of course, there's the logistics of just learning the conversation framework that we have and the how to use all of the technology.
Now, Parisa, suppose somebody in the media is listening or a local policymaker is listening and saying, I would love to hear what people are talking about, how they're talking about these issues. How can they join in and get a taste of what's going on here?
Well, we welcome them joining. We can offer a demo of the whole product and an opportunity to listen to some of the conversations that are already in the collection. And we're actively looking for both media and public official or public sector partners who are interested in helping us understand what can make the platform most useful for them. So reach out to us at cortico.ai or lvn.org, and we'll be glad to make the connection.
And Colleen, for people around Wisconsin thinking, yeah, I want to play, how can they get involved and sit around the digital hearth?
Yeah, the best thing would be to go to lvn.org, and then if you go to the Wisconsin page, you'll find our contact information, but you'll also find conversations that are on the calendar that you can register for. So if you want to get involved in a conversation, that would be great. And then that's our first step for people becoming facilitators, as well as you participate in a conversation first, and then we can get you signed up to facilitate if you're interested.
That's pretty straightforward. I just pulled it up while you were talking. LVN.org is the website.
Correct.
Well, Colleen, thank you so much for coming up today.
Thank you.
And Parisa, thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much for having us.
Parisa Parsa is the CEO of Cortico, the nonprofit group behind the Local Voices Network. Colleen Butler is head of the network's Wisconsin chapter. They talked with us about the group's work hosting and recording civil conversations between people of different backgrounds about the values that shape their thinking and their personal experiences as well. Again, if you want to join in and check it out, the website is lvn.org for Local Voices Network.